Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we rejoice in this day that you have made. We are privileged to enter into your holy presence this morning to worship and to commune with you. We thank you for the gift of your Son and his tearing the veil so we can approach you in him. We praise you for the gift of your Spirit who dwells within us and draws us to yourself. We thank you that we can hear your authoritative voice in your word and learn who you are, what you have done for us, and how we can live faithfully in covenant with you. Bless our hearing and receiving of your word. Glorify yourself in us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as you can tell from the sermon text, I was planning on preaching on Epiphany this morning, but Christopher already said everything I was going to say. I'm looking at my sermon, Christopher said that, and Christopher said that, and you know, Christopher. No, that's good theology, Christopher. You know, after almost 2,000 years of celebrating the Epiphany, I was really hoping to say something original that nobody had ever said about Epiphany. No. Let me see if I can fill in some of the gaps, maybe. Brothers and sisters, yesterday was January 6th, which is 12 days from Christmas. Did you celebrate all 12? Or did you stop? Did you stop on Christmas Eve? Did you stop on Christmas Day? Boys and girls, did you get 12 days worth of Christmas presents from your parents? Historically, the church has chosen this day, yesterday that is, to celebrate Epiphany. Epiphany commemorates the event of the Magi from the East coming to see the child, Jesus. We just heard this morning from Matthew's account in his gospel. Now, Epiphany was a significant event in the gospel and the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And it often gets swallowed up in the birth narrative when Jesus is in the manger and shepherds and angels surround him and then the Magi appear. When in reality, the Magi coming was a completely separate event. The Christmas birth narrative is described in Luke chapter 2 with the shepherds watching their flocks by night and the angels send them to see the Christ. We hear in Luke 2 verse 12. The angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." The birth of our Savior. And after his circumcision on the eighth day, and then 40 days to fulfill Mary's days of purification, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. And it appears in Matthew 2 that they were still in Bethlehem when the Magi appear. Again, Matthew 2, verse 11. "And when the Magi had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, this was a remarkable scene. These Magi, or wise men, were religious leaders from Gentile nations to the east. They came first to King Herod to find the king of the Jews. And this stressed out Herod and apparently all Jerusalem. Now why? Why was Herod stressed? Why was Jerusalem stressed? Because Herod was the king of the Jews. He was the ruler installed by the Roman Empire to rule over Israel. Herod, he was the king. And Gentile rulers came into town not seeking to pay homage to Herod. They came for someone else. Now we know today that they came for Jesus, who was recently born. We know that this child was the Son of God in the flesh. But not everybody knew that at the time. There was some kind of divine revelation in the sky with this star that drew the Magi to Jerusalem. They came to find a king to worship. Leaders from Gentile nations came to Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. And the Gentile rulers came to worship the king of the Jews. That sounds normal, right? Now, we've just finished celebrating Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for some of you. Perhaps you took advantage of the privilege to celebrate all 12 days of Christmas with joy, feasting, and gift-giving. And while we love celebrating and feasting, our celebration of Christmas was because of the divine act of the Incarnation. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because of the Incarnation. We rejoice that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to be born a human being. The second person of the Trinity became a baby, a Jewish baby born in Bethlehem. That's quite remarkable. The angels and shepherds praised God and they bowed before the baby, Jesus, lying in a manger. And that was God. As a baby. And here in Matthew 2, we have a slightly older child, and now rulers, leaders from Gentile nations, not just Jewish shepherds. If this child Jesus is king of the Jews, the shepherds can worship their king, even in small town Bethlehem. But this scene is not just a local event in Matthew 2. It wasn't just a couple local Bethlehem guys noticing the bright star in the sky. It's not even just a national story where King Herod is a little concerned about some events in Israel. This is a story with global implications, as Christopher said. Yes, king of the Jews, but a king other nations came to pay homage, to worship. That seems pretty significant. We are amazed at God in the flesh, even God as a small child. What was the Lord doing in bringing magi, wise men, to bow down to a child? The Lord was appearing to the Gentiles. And this is what Epiphany is. This is what it means. Epiphany means appearing. Epiphany means appearing. Epiphany celebrates the appearing, the manifestation of God, of Christ to the Gentiles. This is a revelation of the true and the living God to Gentile leaders representing Gentile nations. Now we read the Old Testament. We know the stories. We're familiar of God of Israel saving his people. Yahweh defeating Baal, defeating Dagon, defeating the gods of Egypt. And again, Matthew 2 could just be strictly a local or national issue, maybe a tribal issue for Israel. But by appearing to the Gentiles, the Lord begins to unfold his redemptive plan more and more. Yahweh, the God who created the heavens and the earth, was opening up and claiming more than a tiny strip of land in the Middle East. Yahweh was concerned about more than one nation that was not more numerous than the other nations. The Lord was claiming the whole world. And that was always the plan. That was the plan from the beginning. God wanted worshipers all over the earth. He wanted his people to multiply, to spread out, fill the earth, to glorify him and enjoy him forever. That was Adam's directive. That was Noah's directive. And it wasn't until God called Abram that he narrowed his focus to one nation, Abram's seed. But even that covenant had global implications. It was a global concern. God Almighty's promise to Abram was that all nations of the earth will be blessed through him and his seed. Boys and girls, who was the first seed of Abram? Isaac. It was Isaac. And then it was Jacob. And then it was 12 tribes, 12 sons. And those tribes multiplied and they grew into a mighty nation. And Yahweh called the tribes of Israel to be a light to the other nations. Israel was to be a light to the other nations. See, God was always shining his light on the nations. In creation, God has made himself evident to the nations, and the Lord shines through his people. Through his communing with Israel as a pillar of fire, so his people could see, they could see his presence, and they, in turn, could reflect his light to the other nations. Yes, Israel was God's chosen nation, the firstborn nation of kingly priests. Israel was a nation set apart to serve. Priests serve. And Israel was to serve the other nations, to reflect God's grace through their covenant faithfulness. When Yahweh gave Israel the law, he told them the law would have this impact on the nations. From Deuteronomy 4 to Israel, "Be careful to observe this law, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.' For what great nation is there that God has a God so near to it as Yahweh our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which is set before you this day. Israel's obedience to God's commands would impact the nations. Their faithfulness would affect the nations. Obedience to God is good evangelism. And this is what God's people do in the Old Covenant and New Covenant. Because God's people have the gracious light of the Lord. Yes, we are born in sin and darkness. But in His mercy, God opens our eyes so we can rightly see. And He saves His people to walk in the light as He is in the light. And God's light, as we see in creation, pushes away the darkness. It chases it away. Walk into a dark room and turn on the lights. What happens to the darkness? The light pushes it away. And this was God's design for Israel, to be a light to the nations. Push away the darkness. Sadly, Israel was faithless in the Old Covenant. And instead of being light bearers, infiltrating dark nations, the Israelites adopted the darkness. Darkness overcame much of the light of Israel. There wasn't much light in the land before the coming of the Son of God. But Yahweh promised to send His true light, not only to Israel, but to those other nations, the Gentiles. One example of this is Isaiah chapter 60, 1 through 6. The Lord says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings, rulers, to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you will see and become radiant. Your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of Yahweh." Who does that sound like, boys and girls? Who does that sound like? Jesus, that's right. It sounds like Jesus. And what does that sound like? It sounds like Epiphany. The Gentile nations coming to the true light, bringing gifts, rejoicing with exceeding joy, bowing down, paying homage. Light into darkness. The nations come to the light, they bring gifts. The nations come to see the Lord. And we see a similar promise in Psalm 72. I'm not going to read the whole thing. And in fact, today at some point, maybe before lunch or before dinner, read Psalm 72. It's a very epiphanal psalm. But Psalm 72, describing the king, "He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy. He will break in pieces the oppressor." What's that? Stomping the head of the serpent. Verse 8, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him. His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Boys and girls, who does that sound like? Jesus. And what does that sound like? Sounds like Epiphany. In his appearing, Jesus manifested to the Gentiles. That's what Matthew describes. And that was what was promised in Isaiah and in the Psalms. So this is Epiphany. Does Epiphany still matter to the church? Yes, Epiphany still matters. Why? Because the Lord was manifesting his glory and his grace to Gentiles. And that's why we're here. As Christopher said, that's why we're here. We're Gentile Christians. We are in covenant with the Lord because the grace of God extended outside the borders of Israel. That the gospel wasn't just Abraham's seed would be a blessing to one nation. It was Abram's seed would bless all the nations. Israel first, and then all the nations. In the ministry of the new covenant, Paul describes this. In Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 7, Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation or revealing or appearing, he made known to me the mystery, as I have written briefly already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed, appeared, made known by the Spirit to his apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." That's the gospel grace to Gentiles too. Not just one nation, all nations. Not only did the gospel go outside the borders of Israel, we see in Matthew 2 that the light of Christ drew the nations into Israel. Jesus brought the nations to himself. The Magi came to him. Yes, they followed the star of light, but who put the star there? Who put it within them to want to follow, to be drawn to that star? The Lord. And these Magi, these religious leaders, follow this bright light in the sky to the greater light before them in the house. Jesus, our Lord. He is the source of all light. In the beginning, God said, in his word, let there be light. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. The true light came into the world, and he is drawing all nations to himself. And he draws the nations to bring them into submission. Jesus has all authority over heaven and earth. He's the King of the Jews, and he has all authority in Israel. And he's the King of Kings and has all authority over King Herod, over Pontius Pilate. He has all authority over the Gentile Magi, over Caesar, over the Ayatollahs, even President Trump. Jesus has all authority. He is the King of Kings. And all must submit to Jesus. Not just the rulers, but the nations too. Now, there's a choice. You can do so joyfully, willingly, as the Magi did in his appearing. They can do so as this holy nation here, this kingdom of priests of the church, as we bow down to the Messiah Jesus. They can kiss the Son lest he be angry and they perish along the way. They can do it that way. Or they can do so out of compulsion, as the Lord has promised, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to God's glory. Now we make that known here in our worship. We announce to the world that God has manifested himself in the child Jesus, and now he rules the nations with a rod of iron as the God-man Jesus. That's what we tell the world. It's objective. It's reality. We don't have to convince the world so that it will happen. We make it known to the world. And we reflect this glorious truth in ourselves, in our lives, in word and deed. Jesus commanded his people, shine light before others so they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Shine your light, Christians. Our Lord Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. He is our bridegroom. And just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, the bride reflects the light of the bridegroom, the glory of the bridegroom. We reflect Jesus. In some way, God manifests his grace and his love through Holy Spirit-produced good deeds of the church. God manifests his grace and his love through Holy Spirit-produced good works of the church. When we walk in the light, the world sees the light in our lives. When we speak the truth and we serve in love, the world sees the manifestation of the light of God. Just as Yahweh told Israel, when you keep the commandments of God, brothers and sisters, when you keep the commandments of God, the nations will say, surely this people is a wise and understanding people. What people has a God so near to them as this group, this church, this body of Jesus Christ? Why does Epiphany matter to us? Because our mission is to disciple the nations. Jesus has shown that all nations will come to him. He will draw them, and they will come. We participate in this drawing. Jesus draws people and families and nations and rulers to himself. And he manifests his grace and his love through our faithfulness to the Great Commission. We love, we serve, we evangelize, we teach. Light pushing away darkness. And when we do this, Jesus is glorified. And the more we do this, the more he's glorified. And as Jesus is more and more glorified, the light of Christ gets brighter and brighter throughout the world in darkness. And then nations will come and see. Yes, they're blinded by the light, but by his grace, he will draw them to it, and they will come. So brothers and sisters, appreciate Epiphany. If you have any questions about it, talk to Christopher afterward. Celebrate Epiphany. Feast today, this Epiphany Sunday. Rejoice that the gospel went to all the nations for your salvation. The Lord shined his light so the nations would come and we would be saved. The people of God would stretch to this nation where he has placed us. And we'd be counted among the redeemed in Jesus Christ. Believe the promises of God that the kingdom has a bright future because of the epiphany of Jesus Christ. Yes, the rulers can strive and the nations can plot a vain thing. But you continue to kiss the Son in faithfulness, serve him with fear, and rejoice with trembling. For Jesus is bringing all into submission to him. And you are an example of that. So reveal Jesus to all. Reveal Jesus how you speak and how you live, how you serve. And this is how God reveals his grace to this nation, including this nation in which we live. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and Father in heaven, we praise you for our salvation. We thank you for the selfless love of Jesus in giving himself in humility and faith. We rejoice that he manifested himself to the Gentiles as the promised seed of Abraham. We are grateful that all nations are blessed in him. Bless our hearing by your Spirit, that we may receive what we have heard by faith and go forth shining the light of Christ before others. As the body of Christ, may your church perform the works of Christ in this world, the good works that you have prepared for us to walk in them. Keep us in your care. Bless us in our faithfully manifesting your grace and your love in serving the world for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.